Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And welcome to another edition of Focus on Community. I'm Frank Rush, being joined today by Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute. Tammy, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. Happy to be with you.
So, Indiana Youth Institute, IYI, you guys are always looking out to try to, basically your goal is to make life for kids easier and better, right?
You got it. Well, increase the well-being of all Indiana kids.
And quite honestly, a lot of kids in Indiana, well, not just in Indiana, but in a lot of places, they could really use some help because society in general this day, we really throw down the gauntlet for kids. I mean, we thought that maybe it was hard for the kids back in the Little House on the Prairie days to eventually grow up to the ripe old age of 30. Unfortunately, it's not a lot easier. It's just different nowadays, isn't it?
There are different things, and you're right. We, right now, Indiana ranks 34th in the country for kids' health. So overall, you know, when a lot of times we talk about the data where we're kind of in the middle of the pack for economics and education and all those components, unfortunately for kids' health, we're below that middle. We're 34th. We're coming in towards the bottom of the pack, and we want to see what we can do to improve the health of our kids.
Well, okay, and when it comes to health, I mean, there's a lot of different components that kind of factor into that, just like there are with adults. And, of course, we talk about health care in America as it is nowadays. So what's affecting the health of kids? Is it just bad decisions, or is it the expense of being healthy? I mean, because, you know, health insurance and proper medical care nowadays, it's not cheap. So which one are we having the biggest problem with?
You're right. There's so many factors, right? And so many, they're all connected and they're all kind of woven together. Two of the biggest ones that we're talking about right now is the fact the opioid crisis on kids. And what we're seeing with that is it's not so much the kids who, you know, themselves, you know, maybe they were exposed as infants, or the kids that are old enough to be users, but there's a whole big chunk of kids whose parents are struggling with substance use disorder. And so those kids, what's happening that's impacting their health is that they're being neglected, and neglected to the point where perhaps they're not getting proper nutrition, they're not getting the amount of sleep they need, they're not getting the medical care they need. And that's causing a lot of long-term health consequences, as well as disruption in their safety and stability.
So basically, it's bad parenting. Yeah, that's causing some of the problems. It's really not that, but let's face it, kids have a lot of challenges in front of them nowadays. And some of the things are just bad health habits. And I'm assuming it's because they're maybe not being taught at home. Is that it?
Well, there's some of that. There's some of that for sure. And going back to the, you know, we know that 52% of the time where kids have been removed from the home, it was because of parental substance abuse. That's what the Department of Children's Services is telling us. So again, while the struggle is with the parents, the negative impact can ripple down and be, you know, placed right on the shoulders of those kids, which again, lots of long-term issues. We do see, you know, the other big issue is nicotine/tobacco use, right? And so smoking, while we've done a pretty good job as a state of decreasing tobacco use by kids, you know, those numbers have been going down for several years. There's been a really recent big spike in e-cigarette use. And for kids in particular, that has some different harmful impacts that as adults, sometimes we just don't think about or process on what that's doing to kids.
Yeah, no, when it comes to the e-cigarettes, the vaping, that kind of thing, do we really understand yet exactly what that does or doesn't do? I mean, because health-wise, everybody says, well, it's supposed to be healthier than smoking, but is it really?
Well, and, you know, I think the jury's out for that for adults. So there are some folks, and there are some, you know, some research coming in that says it actually can help adults stop smoking, and it might be better. However, for kids, that's not the case because their brains aren't fully developed, right? And so your brain used to, brains don't fully develop until age 25, which explains a lot of things in the world. And for them, that exposure to nicotine, that exposure to tobacco can really impair a couple of their big functionalities that we want them to work on, which is really making good choices and focus. And so for kids, there's a big difference between the vaping than there is for adults.
You know, it just seems like if it's not one thing, it's another, you know, because originally back in my day, I mean, it's like, oh, you know, we got to get kids to quit smoking. And then it was, you know, get kids to not do drugs. And now it's, you know, don't vape. It seems like kids are very much like adults, except maybe more susceptible to becoming addicted to whatever the fad is of the day. And we're constantly fighting what the next one is.
Right. And you're absolutely right that the top reasons that teens use e-cigarettes is that they see a friend or a family member using it. You know, there's the second highest use is that availability of those funky flavors, which, you know, we're seeing a lot of discussion about how they're going to crack down on that and what that means. But that's still not the number one reason. The number one reason is seeing a friend or family member.
Okay, so how do we get them to basically say that the friend or family member is a fool and I don't want to be like them?
Well, and you know, again, I think we've done some good work with cigarettes, right? And we've seen that a lot of kids have made that connection between smoking and tobacco and what's bad for them. For some reason, right now, a lot of teens aren't associating those negative long-term consequences with e-cigarettes. So I think, you know, the easiest way to do that is talk about what they want to do. You know, do they want to be on the football team? Do they want to be able to go and hang out with their friends and not be coughing all the time? Or do they want to be in the band and they need some lung capacity to play the trumpet or whatever that is? And talk to them about how this is going to interfere with what they want to do and how those other kids that they or friends that they might see doing it aren't processing that. They're not thinking through it. And you know, give them the capacity to think through it and make their own smart choices. Because if we just tell them bad, 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 we know, you know, teens don't respond always particularly well to that.
No, really?
Versus saying, what is it you want to do, right? What is it, you know, what are you interested in? And how is this going to prevent you from getting to those goals?
Yeah, so, okay, so what's the biggest deterrent for kids? What gets them to turn off something faster than anything else? I mean, you know, IYI, you guys study kids and behavior all the time. So give us the key to life. How do we get kids to say no to this stuff? What affects them the most?
One, we give them a lot of good information, let them choose. Two, it's really having the same way that negatively those friends or family members can influence them. The reverse is also exactly the same. Their parents or their friends can positively impact them. And the number one reason kids say that they don't use any of these nicotine products is that their parents, you know, they'll get in trouble, right? I can't do that. I'll get in big trouble. I'll lose my phone. I'll lose my privileges. If my parents catch me, I will ... right? Which has been one of the biggest deterrents for decades is that parental influence, and it's still there today. Friends have that positive expectation set in your household, and it's really going to go a long way for your kids.
And that's, I think you touched on something right there that's really kind of important, and that is the immediacy of the repercussions. Because, okay, they may not necessarily, they may know that smoking or whatever is going to have an impact on them down the road. But at 15, 16, 17 years old, 45 or 50 is eons away.
Forever.
But the fact that I might lose my phone for the next week or two, that's an immediate life impacting something going on there that's going to just make me come unglued. So that's the immediacy of the effect, I think, is something right there that we can take away from this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're going to get grounded or you're going to lose your phone. There's going to be a consequence. The other thing is we're hearing a lot, the vaping is a big concern of schools. And so also having those consequences there that if you are, you know, if you are caught doing that, maybe you don't, you have to sit out the basketball game. You might get kicked off the team. Whatever those consequences are, you're absolutely right. We want kids to think long term, but we also have to make sure that there is an immediate deterrent in place.
You know, one other thing, too, that I would think probably matters to kids, and that is money. I mean, let's face it. When you were growing up, back in the days where kids were just smoking regular cigarettes, and then all of a sudden they started getting more expensive, then that kind of put a pinch on your pocketbook. And let's face it, a lot of the vaping stuff nowadays, it's not really all that expensive.
Right, which is why, you know, there's a lot of discussion about, user fees, right, which are the taxes associated with either of those products. And again, there's a lot of debates to be had as far as adults, but for kids, which is our focus, we know that they are highly price sensitive, right? They only have a little bit of money. And so sometimes raising those user fees can really deter them from becoming lifelong users. And given the fact that 9 out of 10 smokers start before the age of 18, that's really the goal. The goal isn't, to talk to people about how to stop. It's a lot easier not to get them before they even start.
You know, as we're talking mainly about tobacco and vaping and that kind of stuff, but as far as healthy kids are concerned in general, and I know you guys study this, but I don't know if you've actually done an exact study on this, but what is the biggest danger to kids' health? Is it vaping? Is it childhood obesity? Is it opioids? I mean, what right now is the biggest thing we need to focus on as a society that is affecting more kids than anything else?
You know, I wish I had a, you're like, what's the one thing? Which is a great question. All of it, right? I think the reality is for some kids, they need to get up and move, right? I would say immobility and all these things are connected, because if a kid at a young age is up and mobile and feeling good and they're getting the food they need and the nutrition they need, the medical care, they are less likely to become a teen smoker, right? Be it cigarettes or e-cigarettes. So the more that we can have active kids, and we've talked about this so many times, sometimes it doesn't all have to be scheduled. It doesn't all have to be sports teams or those that can be go out and play in the backyard, right? And it all kind of snowballs together. So healthy young people become healthy middle schoolers, become healthy teens, and vice versa. The unhealthy habits start pretty young.
And the other thing, too, is nowadays, too, I mean, it's not uncommon nowadays. Matter of fact, divorce and everything makes broken households much more common than they've ever been before. And you mentioned the kids it does affect them what their parents think. Like you said, you know, oh, my parents are going to kill me, you know, if they find out that I'm doing this. Okay. But what do you do with kids who are the most at risk, who don't have even that partial support system at home? How do we, as a general public, what do we do to help these kids out? Because they're the ones that probably need it the most.
They do. You're absolutely right, Frank. And I think we just need to make sure we're paying attention to those kids, right? So the kids that may be in foster care, they could be with the best foster parents in the world, and God bless those people for their willingness to do it. But those kids are still at a higher risk. So we need to lean in. And whether you're a coach or a teacher or a youth group provider or just a neighbor, right? Like, pay a little extra attention, engage that kid, you know, reach out to them, make sure that they don't know that there's a YMCA program that they could be part of. Make sure that we're really paying attention to those kids, like you said, that are at the biggest risk, and seeing what we can do to help them out.
And of course, it's always do as I say, not as I do, because let's face it, you and I have just spent the past 13 minutes here talking about just how we can help kids be more healthy. And it's not like adults are necessarily leading the charge from the forefront here.
Well, you bet.
You know, we could all do a little better.
We've all got to model it, right? We can't tell our kids you've got to go and be active and get off your duff and get out of the house and put down the devices. And then if they see us not doing that, they're gonna call our bluff, right? Kids are pretty smart on those kinds of things. They see what's going on in their home, and they, you know, we all need to be positive role models.
Yeah, so don't sit there and say, hey, kid, you need to go outside and play while you're doing that, but you don't even look at them. You're busy staring at your
Correct.
Smartphone answering an email while you say that. And you're not even really Correct. Sure if they're in the room listening to you or not when you say that. So, hey, now, of course, Indiana Youth Institute, you guys have more information on not only healthy kids, but study habits, school, you name it. You guys have all kinds of things there for parents. So nowadays it's more challenging than ever, but if parents would like some advice, it's as easy as going on the interwebs and clicking on your website, right?
Absolutely. IYI.org, and you can search by whatever of these topics is of most interest and importance to you. You can search by health, you can search by education, you can search by economics, and we'll have some resources there.
You guys also have, on occasion, different meetings and brown bags and different seminars, this, that, and the other, all kinds of different things going on all across the state. And if they look at your website, they can find more info as to when those things happen as well, right?
You bet. You actually just type in your zip code and it'll tell you what's going on all around you. So whether you want to look at something in your neighborhood or whether you want to, you know, travel to the next county over or even come to a larger event, all the options are laid out for you.
Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute talking about healthy kids. Again, IYI.org is the website. Tammy, thanks for being with us today and thank you for being with us. That's this week's Focus on Community. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.